When Lou Anne Brizendine published The Female Brain in 2006, she ignited a scientific and cultural firestorm. The book quickly became a New York Times bestseller, was translated into 30 languages, and sold nearly a million copies worldwide. Why? Because it dared to explore what many scientists had long suspected, but few had articulated so clearly. Male and female brains are fundamentally different, not just in structure, but in function. The book resonated deeply with readers, women who finally understood their hormonal fluctuations weren't imaginary, and men who gained insight into the women in their lives. Even celebrities like Oprah Winfrey and Ellen DeGeneres praised the book for its revelations about female neurobiology. Brizendine, a neuropsychiatrist with degrees from UC Berkeley, Yale, and Harvard, founded the Women's and Teen Girls Mood and Hormone Clinic at UCSF, where she observed firsthand how hormones create distinct female realities throughout life stages. Her work transformed our understanding of women's health and continues to influence both scientific research and popular discourse about gender differences. Picture a playground scene. Little Layla flits between children, connecting through smiles and emphatic nods, while her cousin Joseph arrives with friends who grab blocks, build rockets alone, and ignore requests to share. Despite parents' best efforts to provide gender-neutral toys, girls instinctively nurture, even toy trucks, as if they were babies. This isn't merely socialization. It's biology at work. The female brain arrives with larger communication centers and emotional memory circuits that naturally prioritize connection, emotional sensitivity, and social responsiveness. Scientists once believed gender differences were primarily cultural for humans, but biological for animals. We now understand that human brain development begins differentiating between sexes in utero, with female being nature's default setting until the eighth week, when testosterone surges in male fetuses, killing communication cells while growing aggression centers. Without this surge, the female brain develops more connections in communication centers and emotional processing areas. From birth, baby girls study faces intently. Unlike boys, who prefer looking at mobiles and mechanical objects, girls are hardwired for mutual gazing and eye contact. Over the first 3 months, a baby girl's facial gazing skills increase by 400%, while boys show no increase. Girls interpret emotionless faces as signs they're doing something wrong and persistently try to elicit expressions. This explains why unresponsive faces, whether from depression or even Botox injections, can be deeply confusing to developing girls. Girls arrive better equipped to hear emotional vocal tones too. Like bats detecting sounds inaudible to other animals, girls perceive emotional nuances in voices that boys simply miss. A slight tightening in mother's voice provides sufficient warning for a girl, while a boy might need physical restraint to prevent misbehavior. Being heard and listened to tells a young girl if others take her seriously, directly impacting her developing sense of self-worth. This superior brain wiring for communication and emotional processing manifests early. Girls respond more quickly to soothing and better resonate with their mother's emotions than boys. Studies show female newborns under 24 hours old already respond more to distressed cries of other babies and to human faces than male newborns. By 1 year, girls show greater responsiveness to others' distress, especially sad or hurt expressions. During infantile puberty, girls experience a 24-month period where their ovaries produce adult-level estrogen, marinating the brain and enhancing circuits for observation, communication, gut feelings, and caregiving. This estrogen surge primes innate female brain circuits for social nuance, explaining why toddler girls can be emotionally adept while still in diapers. A girl actually incorporates her mother's nervous system into her own through her ability to observe and feel emotional cues. Sisters raised by the same mother can develop vastly different perceptions of reality based on their mother's emotional state during their infancy. This nervous system environment, absorbed during the first 2 years, creates a perception of reality that affects a girl throughout life. Research shows this early stress versus calm incorporation, called epigenetic imprinting, can pass through generations. The calm childhood brain gives way to hormonal chaos at puberty. Drama defines the teen girl's brain as it undergoes massive reorganization. The biological purpose of puberty drives her to become sexually desirable, causing obsession with appearance and constant self-comparison. The brain's ancient female blueprint activates, making her hypersensitive to social approval and rejection. The teen girl's brain experiences powerful hormonal surges as her hypothalamic pituitary ovarian system activates. These monthly waves of estrogen and progesterone fuel female-specific brain circuits, making her increasingly sensitive to emotional nuance. Her self-confidence fluctuates dramatically with her cycle, some days strong, other days precarious. Unlike boys, whose stress responsiveness drops during puberty, girls show intensified reactions, particularly to relationship conflicts. Teen girls find biological comfort through verbal connection with other girls. The flood of estrogen activates oxytocin and female-specific brain circuits for talking and socializing. Girls speak 2 to 3 times more words daily than boys, and talking together, especially sharing secrets and gossiping, creates powerful neurological rewards. When teen girls text obsessively or spend hours on the phone, they're experiencing a major dopamine and oxytocin rush comparable to the brain's pleasure response to addictive drugs. Meanwhile, teen boys become taciturn when testosterone surges, decreasing their interest in talking except about sports or sexual pursuit. While girls crave verbal connection, boys retreat into themselves, consumed by sexual thoughts and masturbatory urges they fear others will discover. The fundamental difference? Teen girls seek intimate verbal connection, while teen boys have entirely different priorities for closeness. Girls are neurologically wired to prevent social conflict at all costs. When relationships are threatened, female brains experience plummeting levels of serotonin, dopamine, and oxytocin, while stress hormone cortisol rises, triggering anxiety about rejection. Unlike males, who often get a positive boost from conflict, females experience it as threatening to vital social bonds. At puberty, estrogen resets a girl's brain, affecting everything from sleep cycles to stress response. The female brain matures 2 to 3 years earlier than boys, with different sleep patterns emerging around ages 8 to 10. Estrogen creates a monthly cycle that refreshes parts of the brain. During the first 2 weeks, connections in the hippocampus grow by 25%, making thinking sharper and clearer. Then progesterone reverses these effects in the second half of the cycle, making the brain more sedated and eventually more irritable. The teen girl brain experiences dramatic chemical shifts that can feel like identity crises. For about 10% of women, hormone withdrawal in week 4 creates brain irritation comparable to seizures, increasing stress reactivity and the startle reflex. Women with higher estrogen and progesterone levels have more serotonin cells, making them more stress resistant, while those with lower levels experience more severe symptoms. At puberty, a girl's emotional centers become highly responsive, while her prefrontal cortex, the brain's impulse control system, remains immature. Though the prefrontal cortex has more cells by age 12, the connections are thin and underdeveloped. This creates a mismatch, like a dial-up modem receiving broadband signals, where emotional impulses from the amygdala overwhelm the brain's control systems. Our brains are pre-programmed to steer us toward reproductive partners, calculating qualities that make good mates. When attraction occurs, hormones surge. Dopamine sparks euphoria, while testosterone stokes sexual desire. This dance of romance follows ancient patterns. Men chase, women choose. Our brains unconsciously spot the healthiest potential mates using neurological love circuits activated by neurochemicals. Despite our modern lives, we operate with Stone Age brains when it comes to mate selection. Scientists studying attraction confirm that our brains developed to solve primitive survival problems, with reproduction being the most critical challenge. Those ancestors whose mating choices produced surviving offspring passed on their courtship attraction brain systems, which we experience as falling in love. Evolutionary psychologist David Buss studied mate preferences across 37 cultures worldwide and found universal patterns. Women consistently value material resources and social status in potential husbands more than physical appearance. This remains true regardless of women's own financial independence. Women also prefer mates who are at least 4 inches taller and 3.5 years older, preferences hardwired into female brains. According to biologist Robert Trivers, this mate selection strategy makes evolutionary sense. Women invest more in reproduction and child rearing, so they're naturally selective with their family jewels. Historically, women who raised children alone were less successful at propagating genes, as fathers triple children's survival rates in some cultures. Women evolved to seek partners likely to provide protection and resources. While women's ancient brain circuitry scans for assets and protection, men's brains seek different qualities. Men worldwide prefer physically attractive wives between ages 20 and 40 who are about 2.5 years younger. They're drawn to clear skin, bright eyes, full lips, shiny hair, and hourglass figures, all strong visual markers of fertility. These preferences exist across cultures, indicating their hardwired evolutionary traits. Women approach relationships with natural caution. Their amygdala's fear circuits remain fully activated with new partners. This cautiousness is evolutionary, as seduction and abandonment by males is an ancient ruse. Studies show college males admit to portraying themselves as kinder and more trustworthy than they really are. Natural selection favored men skilled at deception to gain sex, which forced women to develop superior abilities to detect lies. Falling in love creates an irrational brain state where critical thinking shuts down. This documented condition shares brain circuits with obsession, mania, and hunger. It's not an emotion, but a motivation system, running on dopamine, estrogen, oxytocin, and testosterone. The brain's fear alert system, amygdala, and critical thinking areas are suppressed while love circuits run at full blast, similar to taking ecstasy. This intense state typically lasts 6 to 8 months, during which separation causes physical withdrawal symptoms. The transition from passionate love to long-term attachment involves neurological changes. Reward pleasure circuits dim while attachment circuits strengthen. This shift serves an evolutionary purpose, making child-rearing possible by allowing partners to focus beyond each other. The brain's attachment system requires almost daily activation through touch, with men needing touch 2 to 3 times more frequently than women. Female sexual arousal begins with a brain turnoff, the deactivation of the amygdala, fear and anxiety center. Any worry can interrupt progress toward orgasm, explaining why women take 3 to 10 times longer than men to climax. The female orgasm involves a delicate neurological system where clitoral nerves communicate directly to the brain's pleasure center, releasing dopamine, oxytocin, and endorphins when stimulated sufficiently. For women to reach orgasm, they need to feel relaxed, comfortable, and secure, whether through emotional safety in relationships or external relaxants like warm baths or vacation settings. The female brain's sensitivity to disruption during arousal means even minor issues, bad breath, awkward movements, or intrusive thoughts can instantly reactivate the amygdala, halting sexual interest. Past trauma particularly affects women's ability to reach orgasm, with 4 in 10 women having experienced childhood sexual trauma that continues to occupy brain circuits during adult encounters. Even everyday stressors like work pressure can prevent the necessary relaxation for orgasm. Female orgasm serves evolutionary purposes beyond pleasure. It creates uterine contractions that pull sperm through the cervical mucus barrier, increasing conception probability. Studies show women retain significantly more sperm when climaxing between 1 minute before and 45 minutes after male ejaculation. This biological mechanism may function as sperm competition, allowing women's bodies to unconsciously select preferred genetic material. Research confirms women experience more frequent orgasms with symmetrical, attractive partners, a biological preference for genetic quality rather than emotional connection. Female biology employs sophisticated mechanisms to ensure optimal reproduction, including heightened sensitivity to male pheromones near ovulation. Women's brains become particularly receptive to androstenedione, a compound in male sweat, during peak fertility, causing improved mood and mental focus within minutes of exposure. Research suggests women with partners prefer the scent of more dominant men during ovulation, while single women don't show this preference. Testosterone drives sexual desire in both genders, produced in testes and adrenal glands for men and ovaries and adrenal glands for women. Though the mechanism is identical, men have 10 to 100 times more testosterone than women, creating significant differences in sexual drive. The male brain devotes twice as much neural real estate to sex as the female brain. This structural difference begins 8 weeks after conception, when testosterone enlarges the male fetus's area for sexual pursuit in the hypothalamus, with another surge at puberty strengthening these connections. When Jane lost interest in sex due to work stress, her husband Evan feared she no longer loved him or was having an affair. This common scenario reveals how differently male and female brains interpret sexual rejection. For men, a partner's disinterest in sex signals potential loss of love, similar to how women panic when men stop communicating emotionally. Motherhood fundamentally transforms a woman through profound brain changes that are structural, functional, and largely irreversible. These neurological alterations, triggered by pregnancy hormones and reinforced through physical contact with the infant, create new maternal circuits that dramatically shift a woman's priorities and responses. Even women with no prior interest in children can find themselves neurologically rewired after childbirth, as the author experienced personally. Biology can hijack circuits despite our best intentions, with many women experiencing mommy brain symptoms before conception. The sweet smell of an infant's head releases pheromones that stimulate oxytocin production, creating baby lust. Throughout pregnancy, a woman's brain marinates in neurohormones from the fetus and placenta. Progesterone levels climb, causing sleepiness and increased hunger. Smell circuits change dramatically, often triggering morning sickness. As the due date approaches, a woman becomes almost exclusively preoccupied with her baby and the birth process. When labor begins, progesterone suddenly collapses while oxytocin floods the brain, triggering contractions. After birth, a mother's brain becomes chemically imprinted with her baby's smell, cry, and movements. She can identify her baby's smell with 90% accuracy. Within days, overwhelming protectiveness seizes her. This maternal aggression takes over brain circuits, creating what may be the biggest reality change of a woman's life. Expectant fathers experience hormonal and brain changes paralleling their pregnant partners. Up to 65% worldwide develop Cuvade syndrome, sharing pregnancy symptoms like morning sickness. In weeks before birth, father's prolactin rises 20%, while stress hormone cortisol doubles. After birth, testosterone plummets by a third as estrogen climbs, priming their brains for emotional bonding. The same brain regions activated by romantic love light up when mothers view photos of their children. In both cases, surges of dopamine and oxytocin switch off judgmental thinking while activating pleasure circuits that produce exhilaration and attachment. Research confirms that brain areas responsible for critical judgments are temporarily deactivated when viewing loved ones. Breastfeeding's benefits come with cognitive costs. Many nursing mothers experience mental fogginess and forgetfulness. This mommy brain phenomenon occurs because brain regions responsible for focus are preoccupied with tracking the infant, and because the brain only returns to pre-pregnancy size around 6 months postpartum. Maternal behavior patterns are transmitted intergenerationally through what scientists call epigenetic inheritance. Research with rats shows that females raised by inattentive mothers become inattentive mothers themselves, regardless of their genetic mother's nurturing capacity. The brain circuits that use estrogen and oxytocin actually change according to the nurturing received, affecting future mothering ability. Modern mothers often face wrenching conflicts between attachment to their children and work responsibilities. This conflict triggers increased stress, anxiety, and reduced cognitive capacity for both work and parenting tasks. Our primate ancestors offer potential solutions through alloparenting, shared childcare responsibilities among female kin.
The female brain's superior emotional sensitivity has biological foundations. Women's brains are wired to track, moment by moment, the nonverbal signals of others' innermost feelings, while men typically recognize emotions only when they become unmistakable, like tears. Women's intuition stems from biological reality. Their brains have more cells dedicated to tracking body sensations, and estrogen increases sensitivity to physical pain and emotional signals. The insula, where gut feelings are processed, and anterior cingulate cortex, larger and more active in females, work together to interpret physical sensations as emotional data. The female brain excels at mind reading, quickly assessing others' thoughts and intentions from minimal cues. This comes from subconscious observation of subtle facial expressions, voice tones, and body language. Mirror neurons likely play a key role, allowing women to automatically activate similar brain patterns when observing others' emotional states, essentially feeling what others feel. Research shows women's brains activate pain centers when witnessing loved ones experiencing pain, literally sharing their suffering. The male brain processes emotions with less gut sensation and more rational thought, typically avoiding emotions entirely. Women often need to dramatically escalate their signals to get emotional attention from men. When women cry, men are often surprised and uncomfortable, unable to read the facial cues that signal impending tears. This discomfort stems from men's longer processing time for emotional meaning and feelings of helplessness when confronted with a partner's pain. Women are neurologically wired to respond to others' emotional distress from birth. Newborn girls respond more to crying babies and human faces than boys do. Adult women detect subtle signs of sadness with 90% accuracy compared to men's 40% and feel comfortable being physically close to someone sad while men don't. Women's emotional memory circuits are like superhighways compared to men's country roads. Research shows women use both brain hemispheres to process emotions, while men use just one, with 9 different brain areas activating in women versus only 2 in men. The amygdala serves as emotional gatekeeper for both sexes, but women's amygdalas are more easily activated by emotional nuance. Combined with women's larger hippocampus, this creates detailed 3-dimensional memories of emotional experiences. Women's anger processing differs fundamentally from men. Studies show girls typically stop playing when conflicts arise, while boys continue competing through arguments. Women's anger moves through gut feeling, conflict anticipation, and verbal circuits rather than triggering immediate action responses like in men. Though slower to anger, women's superior verbal fluency can unleash words men can't match, potentially frustrating men into physical expressions of anger. Sylvia, at 54, suddenly decided she wanted a divorce after 28 years of marriage. What shocked her most was the clarity with which she now saw her situation. The emotional tugs that once compelled her to rescue and care for others had vanished. She wanted more from life than cooking, cleaning, and raising children. This menopausal transformation, experienced by 150,000 American women monthly, represents both psychological development and biological change. Brain scans would reveal a landscape dramatically different from her premenopausal brain, the surges and plunges of hormones replaced by steady, consistent functioning. Her amygdala still responds more strongly than a man's to emotional stimuli, but tears don't come as quickly. At menopause, average age 51.5, the hormones that boosted communication circuits, emotion circuits, and the drive to tend and care diminish significantly. With estrogen down, oxytocin drops too, making women less interested in emotional nuances and peacekeeping. This can happen precipitously, rewriting a woman's internal rules in ways invisible to her family. The female brain becomes less sensitive to estrogen around age 43, triggering symptoms from hot flashes and joint pain to anxiety and depression. Scientists believe menopause is triggered by this change in brain sensitivity to estrogen. Sex drive often changes radically as both estrogen and testosterone levels drop. The 24 months before menopause can be particularly turbulent, as ovaries produce erratic amounts of estrogen. Sylvia described perimenopause as adolescence without the fun, her brain at the mercy of changing hormones with extreme emotional responses. Simple comments from her husband could trigger door slamming and hour-long crying sessions. sexual response changes dramatically during perimenopause, with 50% of women aged 42 to 52 losing interest in sex, experiencing difficulty with arousal, and having less frequent, less intense orgasms. By menopause, women have lost up to 60% of the testosterone they had at age 20. The 24 months before menopause can be particularly turbulent, as ovaries produce erratic amounts of estrogen. Sylvia described perimenopause as adolescence without the fun, her brain at the mercy of changing hormones with extreme emotional responses. Simple comments from her husband could trigger door slamming and hour-long crying sessions. Sexual response changes dramatically during perimenopause, with 50% of women aged 42 to 52 losing interest in sex, experiencing difficulty with arousal, and having less frequent, less intense orgasms. By menopause, women have lost up to 60% of the testosterone they had at age 20. As Sylvia passed through menopause, she felt a mental haze lifting. Without the monthly estrogen and oxytocin surges that had primed her brain to tend to others' needs, she no longer felt driven to care for everyone else. After leaving Robert, she discovered her mood swings and irritability stopped. She began enjoying nights alone, watching movies, taking bubble baths, and working in her studio. Statistics show that more than 65% of divorces after age 50 are initiated by women, likely due to the drastically altered reality of postmenopausal women. The hormonal changes fundamentally shift priorities. What had been important, connection, approval, children, keeping the family together, is no longer the first thing on their minds. At menopause, the female brain is nowhere near ready to retire. For many women, this becomes an exciting intellectual time as the burden of child-rearing decreases and the mommy brain recedes. When Sylvia was accepted into a master's program in social work, it was one of her happiest moments since college graduation. When estrogen declines at menopause, the brain cells, circuits, and neurochemicals that relied on this hormone begin to shrivel. Research shows estrogen has protective effects on many aspects of brain functioning, from memory to decision-making centers. Studies demonstrate that women who receive estrogen replacement immediately after losing ovarian function retain their memory, while those without replacement experience declining verbal memory. For many women, the postmenopausal years bring increasing freedom and control. A century ago, menopause was relatively rare, with women's average age of death being 49. Today, women can expect to live many decades after menopause, with 45 million American women now between ages 40 and 60. Modern women face unprecedented challenges as career timelines clash with biological realities. Many professional women delay childbearing until their mid-30s or 40s, then find themselves managing careers, young children, and perimenopause simultaneously. Understanding our brain biology at each life phase helps us control our destiny and plan better. The biological reality is that there is no unisex brain. Pretending women and men are the same ultimately hurts women by ignoring sex differences in disease susceptibility, treatment needs, and cognitive processing. Despite scientific evidence of brain differences, this is a golden age for women. For the first time in history, we have both control over fertility and independent economic means. Technology allows flexibility between professional and domestic duties. These developments give women unprecedented options for managing their professional, reproductive, and personal lives. We're living through a revolution in understanding women's biological reality that will transform society. Women's needs for functioning at their full potential and using the innate talents of the female brain are becoming scientifically clear. Our future depends on creating a new social contract that accounts for these realities. The female brain's journey from birth through childhood, adolescence, motherhood, and into mature adulthood reveals a remarkable story of adaptation, resilience, and biological purpose. Rather than limiting women, understanding these neurological realities empowers us to work with our biology rather than against it. The female brain's extraordinary capacity for connection, emotional intelligence, and adaptability represents not a limitation, but an evolutionary advantage, one that continues to shape our relationships, workplaces, and society at large.